This morning I'm turning to the Gospel of Luke. We'll look at chapter 19. And this one we consider a passage from verse 11 to 27, and is the popular parable, the parable of the pounds. Those of us who read our Bibles, I'm sure we are very conversant with this parable. And now, okay, we have share some kind of look in some panel, chapter 19, verse 11 equal 27. Now, you see, I didn't see any parable, a friend of. Yes, Christo, Kapara will be. I said, this is Kama, or say, this is Kama, I do so open the Juma, and yeah, or they can't assemble a church, Mesima, a Hindi Muslim, etc. For the parable of the pounds. If you know, I say, majority about pounds, you know, the amount. As Emina, aha, or say, or the phobia man, and who are Emina. So, but they talk about money that was given to some servants to work with. Okay, at that. Scared the man and go, or the forward man and go, someone find yet the Juma man. But they, baby, some. Then yet, yes, Christo, one can say, you find a service in my work and I try in some more, find a coupon any your home. Okay, so this is what we are going to look at today, the parable. And I promise, it's one of the popular parables of Lord Jesus Christ. So I'll go, there's so much information, so I wouldn't do many introductions. I'll just go to the text and we look at from verse 11. And I read. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And from verse 1, we're told that he was in the house of Zacchaeus when he passed through Jericho. He entered and passed, and then he met Zacchaeus. Remember the popular account of Zacchaeus climbing a tree and Christ receiving him, and he taking Christ to his house, where Christ, Zacchaeus found the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And some and as they heard this, they also in some same way, you know. And someone now all count was Zacchaeus. I'm saying, yeah, Zacchaeus, they asked them, you know. Yes, Christo, who's Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, who is Christo? We cannot say, be asked of so who knows. Now, yes, Christo, who knows? Friend, you know, Zacchaeus, who is Zacchaeus? Do you know? Send a junk one, and in some being an old count, or no count, sir, baby, see me at the two. So, as they heard these things, so that is the things he said in the house of Zacchaeus, which we are not going there. He added a spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem. Because they taught that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. So here he tells us the purpose of this parable. That Jesus Christ told this parable to correct false views of his followers. Because as we were told that they were thinking of Christ setting up an earthly kingdom for the Jews immediately. Because they knew his days were closer. He was going to Jerusalem. And that Christ should settle a kingdom for them where they will prosper in this world. And as again, if you read the Gospels, you know, even the apostles themselves were somehow affected with this kind of false belief about Christ and his work as our Savior, as the one who has come to redeem man from sin. The mechanic said, you see, parable is to okay, no, they are threatening. And so I didn't be a fan of the Hindi and then you made your baby dear my say at the boy for so many a few no. And I dream be a not even apostle or my form so we in the apostle that you not affect you. Oh, when you have to say Christo a Hindi, you know, as Obama Baba, I was say, we are saying Hindi, ah, Baba, or remember, ah, I'm waiting in the year before, oh, we are saying no more at all. So always, Christ will say one thing or the other to diffuse this idea. And even getting to the closer times, they will still be misguided. So we are told that the church said, "Sabe busi mi okai." So the best sentence, "Sabe jin weya." Any no crime fa ne ahindi ene ni jumi di obedi edimaye. Oh, we are see. So by this parable, Christ rather raises their thoughts about something so important that merely having the idea that, well, Christ's kingdom is coming and then maybe I'll have part in it or not. And to Christ can we page on my green fee, we are seeing and some who had your margin called two, said yet, and your mom more here. And in the parable, Christ, I mean, tell them what they should think about the day of judgment, where all will appear before him, where he will come in judgment. And that is what is very important, that each one of them should be sure that they will have a rightful standing before him. That's the whole, I mean, character of the passage. That each one of them should think of that. Because that's what the parable seems, I mean, tells us. And each one should be concerned. Because all these, I mean, at least all those who followed him somehow have some, quote-unquote, faith in him. Whether it's false or not, they believe that somehow he's the Messiah. And at least they believe that he's able to do something. Majority of them will believe that he was sent from God, and us, some have also believed that he's God who has come on earth. But then it was a mixed idea about Christ. Then we can say, and the question we need, the beard in the soil, or you are going to go about there, this one is in the soil, and I'm like, oh my dream, and yet, and sippy. Or can some way, and if you might be a good dinner, I did hear pass, and yes, I'm waiting, nipper bed in the chicken. Then one being said, I don't know, or best ever we ask every what, and maybe almost bit to me. And on that, Christ knows our hearts, he knows our minds, and he knows what is good for us. But you know, human beings, human nature, we always think we are wiser than God. Yeah, who is who's on him, Yakuma, on him, dear Yamayan. But in maybe Breno. Yeah, if you see the minister saying young people, and maybe brace because last them can't say, Nipa prayer, yeah, and that why you have say. So that is how it is. We are not wiser than God. So Christ, who knows the thought of men, who I mean, that's one aspect of pride that makes him God. He knows what is there in the mind of, even when you are speaking, he knows the motives of your speech, so that if it's not true, he knows it. Only God knows that. Christo, only him. And this is one of them. They were following him. In their mind, Christ is going to set up a kingdom for them. But then he knows that this was wrong. Okay. Verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain noble man went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. The whole picture Christ pictured to us in this parable, it was like a nobleman going to a far country to receive a kingdom. It was a common practice in those days where those who are rightful heirs to a throne will go to Rome to seek approval from Caesar before they come, because all kingdoms were under him. So that even if you are the royal, you have to go to Rome for approval. And apart from that, there were others who were doing that. So that the paramount king or whatever, the emperor, that each kingdom have to go. The one who is due to be crowned as a king has to go for approval. Else you don't have that authority. So, and the people of Israel were very aware of these things. Even Herod. Herod the Great and other Herods, they all have to go to Rome to be approved before they became kings of Judah in those days. So they were aware. They can say, Christo, if you need to come out to say, or the phobia, it's required for J to me, so they banyan a Hindi, you know. I did not know, of course, yes, Christo, we know what we are saying. If you say, now, if you say, if you say, also call Rome, now call Caesar. Because Caesar, no, yeah, we are seeing your hand. So, ocean, I see. Now for normal to me now to call Jewish. Then I'm gonna say Israel for Herod the Great and Herod as if only I'm call Rome for J to me as a normal bed Judah for society. So it was a common thing that happened. So they receive approval from the king, so called king of kings of the time. So Christ knows this, so he brought in this so the people will be aware. I mean, try to get what he's trying to tell them. It's not a difficult thing for them to know. So a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And definitely, the nobleman here refers to Christ himself. Christ was referring to himself. And it pictures him in his, we call, his mediatorial kingdom. That is a kingdom of mediation. And that's one thing people sometimes don't understand when they read the scriptures. When Christ will sometimes say, "My Father," in relation to submission to Him when He came into this world, it was because of His work of mediation for us. As Christ as God, He's equal with the Father. So, with this mediation kingdom, it hangs in between, I mean, His coming, until He has subdued all rebellion against God. And as we are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I think verse 25, that Christ will reign till all God's enemies are subdued. And then we're told that the last enemy that will be conquered is death. So you see, Christ has a work to do. And this kingdom is set up for that purpose. And He, the second person of the Trinity, took up that work. So that's why He came to take human nature. Christ didn't come and take human nature for nothing. It's not that God would just want to take human nature for this Mediterranean kingdom. And Christ is the king of this kingdom. So He pictures Himself, God, while He was going to the cross, He was going to Jerusalem. Soon He will be crucified. Soon He will be betrayed by His own friend Judas. Soon the high priest and the elders will condemn Him unjustly. And He goes to the cross to suffer for our sin. But then, afterwards, He goes to heaven. And when He goes to heaven, He will pour down His Spirit. And then the church will begin, the day of Pentecost. And then the church will begin to work. And Christ will be there, observing the church, controlling His church through scripture, and also saving all those that He will save, all the period till He comes back again. So that period is where Christ is ruling as a mediator. So that when Christ died, He died for sinners. He rose up from the dead. He's now lifted up on high. He's seated on His right hand, the right hand of the Father. That's what the Bible teaches Him. And now we are told that all kingdoms, all authority is now under Him. Satan, all are bowing to Him. None is able to stand with Christ. That is why it is foolish for people to think that you can be saved and Satan have power over you. It's nonsense. Christ is, obviously, every authority is under Him. And why that I'm a Christian, and then I'm afraid of demons, I'm afraid of devils. It's never. So that's the picture. I said, Christo. Sana Hindi ya of a fine pursue, sir, or Baba this week. And your friend is there in Temjina, Hindi. Or the home of Forema Bonnie, Yakuno, our Calvary. No, we are yellow, or sorry for you, no, of course, a Pacotani Jana, that means any fast. Babu trends, the Juma old Yen is there. Ne Juma Bay home fast or no, or the Jim Omo Bejumun Yaban in Chen, or Pimimimbra Bessia Babu. No ba afeno or the atembu aye the amba. Nasa Hindi no jetu and also say or funny person no a baby. The Bible chair of 1 Corinthians chapter 15:25 says Christo baby so obey Christo a Hindi cosu to copimra. Obi be around Tanya and Kupon, so on some or send for Munya Beshabashan as here. Now, Okun must say a woo and ne a townful ah or did one Christo be dinner so. So that's a funny chamber. So Christo, the San Seminia or the Shesha Parabumuna Orca. So Christ is now seated in heaven as our mediator. And this is His kingdom. Christ is ruling. So people sometimes think, oh, where's Christ? And He's ruling those whom He has conquered their hearts. And they know Him. He's in the heart of every believer. He is the one who is controlled alive by His Spirit. If you go to Romans chapter 8. It tells the difference between those who are ruled by the Spirit of Christ and those who are not His. And it tells us that those who are not, who don't have Christ, the Spirit of Christ, they are not His. That's the difference. Yeah, so Christ is ruling. And in that rulership, He is able to control the world invisibly to us, so that if you save somebody, He will cast the situation in a way that He's able to save the person. The powers of hell, Satan, cannot do anything. Nobody can stand in the way if Christ wants to save somebody. So He has power over the world. Not physically as we see, but He's working, you see. And then His church also knows Him. The true believers in Christ know that He's working because they know Him. He rules over us. And He's the one who keeps us. He who gives us all that we need to, know and do. So, and to affirm this, in 1 Peter 3:22, we are told that, referring to Christ, who is going into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers, being made subject to powers, whether in heaven or hell, wherever it is, made subject to. So, this nobleman refers to Christ Himself, who was to come and die and soon go to heaven, and to quote unquote, receive authority in that mediatorial kingdom. You know, Christ himself is part of the Godhead, and yet for that mediation kingdom, as Christ as human, is going to rule, and that is going to take that authority to do that. So it's a mystery that also, that Christ, who is God himself, also again came as a human being to work such a wonderful work for our salvation. Okay, so verse 13. And he called his servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. So Christ pictured this nobleman who is going to travel to obtain this authority. And he called his servants and gave them 10 pounds and said that they should occupy. The word occupy means to trade with, to do business with. So he gave them money for them to work with. The pounds here is not the British pounds, I'm sure we are aware. In the original, it's called a mina. And we are told that it's about a third of a person's wage for the year. So like a third of a person's wages for the whole year. So it's somehow a huge amount of money. So he gave them to his servants, and that they should trade with. And what that also this one tells us, normally the 10 servants and their 10 pounds are taken to be like believers, and the various gifts Christ, God has given to us to work with. It's true, can be applied that way. But we are taking it to be the servants, to be all the general followers of Christ. All who claim to follow Christ. You know, all those he spoke the parable to, they were all following him. They were all his disciples. They were true ones, they were hypocrites, but they were all his disciples, quote unquote. So, this is to all the followers of Christ. And the pounds also, here referring to the gospel which all the followers of Christ have received. There can you say, or the foyer, or is it on my friend in Kua Bruno, or more, Sikaso Mufan Dijuma, or Ko Abba? And I make us say, Sikao de Momono, Sir Christopher Nunku, and he's called the Momo. Maybe I can't know, exam my Jedi for any, I don't actually have body mind, sir, Yenfa and Dijuma with us, as soon as you can. And I'm saying, yeah, people, it's Mikan Sabadan, yeah, green, sir. And when you are okay, Omo is to HD4. Sir, Omo is the crowd for some way, a trophy, Omo is to HD4. Sir, I'm not okay. So this refers to the general followers of Christ and the pounds. And I cannot demo Amono, so no, a chair in Sampano, a piece to Abijah Amma, we are saying, yes, sir, anyway. Because why the knowledge of God through Christ is called a treasure. Yanku Pong, Nihu, Nyan, Sir, I say, Hunu, I am Christos, no Bible can say, I hear Japadia. The gospel is a treasure. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, they have this treasure in earthen vessels. We find that they who have believed Christ have this grace of Christ in human nature. And they are, that is how it speaks. So it's a treasure. The gospel is a treasure. And the treasure is a knowledge. The knowledge of the gospel is a treasure. It's far above any treasure in this world. To know Christ, to know God through Christ, as your Savior, as far beyond anything. To know that Christ came to die for my sin, and I give myself to him. That when he was hanging on the cross, when he said that it has finished, it was that he took my punishment on himself. So that I go to him and give myself to him and repent of sin. It begins with the knowledge of Christ. Without the knowledge of the gospel, who can know that he came to die for us? Who can have a life without the knowledge of the gospel? Yesterday at the conference, they talked about Christ first and foremost, then it's about his preeminence, and in creation, in salvation, in everything, Christ has the preeminence. So the knowledge of him is above every knowledge. Without the gospel, how can a man's sin be forgiven him? You know that in the Old Testament, their sins were covered. It was atoned for. It was Christ's sacrifice that took away all the punishment for their sin. So if Christ has not come, their sins will still be hanging. So Christ's sacrifice, it did not come and just cover our sins, it took them away. So the sacrifice in the Old Testament, picturing his taking away sin and his covering for sin, his sacrifice for sin, he has really come to do it. So all who come to him are given this blessed blessings from God. So that is it. So the gospel. So and the noble one, they said, and said unto them, occupy till I come. So that every one of these servants to trade with the money he has given him, occupy, trade with it, busy yourself to the day of accountability. When I come, there will be accountability. Because they tell him, occupy your life. I mean that I've given it to you, but when I come, I'll take out, accountability. So occupy till I come. So they were to pray to make profit out of the money. And that is how the gospel is about. All of us who hear the redeeming love of God in Christ, we have been given a treasure. In general, he said, knowledge is power, knowledge is wealth. Knowledge is beyond anything material, because if you have everything without knowledge, you cannot use them in a secular terms. Useless. So the knowledge of Christ is the treasure above all treasure. Christo, see, be hun say eya jin kwa aya kwa na ba say jin kwa dia hun be manu eso sin ejapade bi eso sin esun hun bia. So as the nobleman gave the treasure, the money to his servant, so Christ has also come to, even if you go to 1 Corinthians, we are told that in Hebrews, we are told that how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which was at first began to be spoken by the Lord himself, and was told us by them who had heard him. I say, but then I yet to me, So it is the gospel is a great matter. So they should make good use of it. So figuratively, we are to make use of the gospel for spiritual good. I say, in Sampan Yatia, Emma Yakra, a young one, Emma, a big young who Isha, a friend of Abdom Sinsha, another man, and then quite yet, Emma Yakra. And I'll say, Yatin Sampana, a pushy and a dinner. Because to be saved is a business, it's a serious matter. So we've been young, Pano, a idea of a serious, because you hear the gospel, you are convicted of your sin, you think about it. The more you think about it, you are convicted. The more you think about it, it really affects all your life. I mean, and if you read some of the churches, some people, a whole year, they are so disturbed about their sinfulness, because they have, maybe they live a life of sin heavily, and the gospel done on them. Until Christ has saved them, they are not able to do anything. And you see their records of when Christ received them, and then they were free, and their conscience, the heaviness on their conscience was taken. So, to be saved is not like, no, it's not like that. I have to think about it. It should consume all my thoughts. It should be that which really leads me in life. Whatever I'm doing, are those things able to help me to really give myself to Christ? I was just like living, and that is all. So, we are to train with the gospel truth that Christ has come to die. Very soon there will be Christmas, and people will be jubilating and doing all those things. And you ask yourself, do they know the purpose of Christmas? If even Christmas, it's not replica, but then do they know why Christ came to die for? I mean, came to be born as a baby, that they have dramas and jubilation about it. No, people don't think of that. You see? They are trading with the gospel, but then in a what? Frivolous way. Almost in some panels with the Juma, almost as I said, Christ is here for you again. But only they are talking with the gospel. The thing that is to give us salvation from sin, they just make a play and celebrations of it, business, marketing, that is all. These are playing with the gospel. That which they have to trade with for their soul salvation, they are using like a plaything. And Christ will come. And all those who found themselves wanting, we will see as we go on. So that is the gospel. So that our concern about this truth is that, you know, the Bible, the gospel, that really exposes to us the human sinfulness. Why should Christ go to the cross of Calvary? It tells us what sin it is, how sin looks like before God. That Christ would die until sin is forgiven. That God himself should come and take human nature. So if I hear it, it should tell me that all everything I have done, that Christ should come from glory. That my God should come and die for my sin. And I didn't think of it.
But the gospel tells us that. There's, if there, any gospel that does not tell us of our sinfulness, it's not gospel. How can we know that, and how can we even be affected that Christ died for my sin? That if it doesn't tell me that, it's because of my sin that he came to die. So you see, the gospel, the truth of gospel, tells us of our sinfulness, and it also tells us of the judgment that awaits every life of sin, every sinner. Gospel, St. Paul also, and trying to say, the boy for the, how many and said, a temple or ho emma bonibia. So wherever the gospel is preached, well, people are aware that there's going to be judgment. They may die, so quote unquote, peacefully. They may not get accident to die. They may not fall ill to die. But there's going to be a day of judgment. In this world, judgment is not administered to us according to our sins. People, I mean, a Christian may die, I mean, with the accidentally, and a sinner may not die accidentally. But then, whatever it is, there's going to be a judgment. And the gospel also gives us the promise of forgiveness by the atoning sacrifice of Christ. That's the chiefest thing. The gospel pointing our sinfulness and why Christ came to die, and the judgment that awaits him, it also points us to the promise that God will forgive anyone who comes to Christ and confess and tell him, oh Lord, I've lived a life of sin. It's because of my sins that you hung on the cross, shamefully treated, and died. Forgive me. You see, in St. Paul's sounds so trying. Yanko Pong, Bosha, Wash, I said, near our Baba Christo Hospital, when Baba Christo Hall, no, I pay more than I say, Raja, who said, I'm born in Tina, I'll be weird, and be a divorcee, and may come a born in Yachano. Them friends said, Raja Jimmy, or Benjamin. Always, I say about the thief on the cross. He was part of the other person, he was part of those who were mocking Christ. But when he realized that, no, he doesn't deserve, we deserve our sin. He said, Christ, remember me. Lord, remember me when you go to paradise. First of all, today, be with me in paradise. That was the absolute freedom that he has. So, it is for us. So, the gain of this gospel business, basically, it should lead us to repentance of a life of sin, of a life that is in rebellion against the will of God and faith in what Christ has done for sinners. Sir, in St. Paul, you might hear, I can't get this, sir. Pounce to him. They also say, if I saw, I was saying, no one part, if I saw every woman, the Fasua, the boy in the bone who party kind, and said, and more in Yagin sacrifice in the morning. And then a brown boy, I could see Yankupon. So, no one asked Yankupon, I'm going to buy you, I said, no, I say, maybe the man drink, I want me bra. The me, you share me, me, or both for no, I'll bomb, and not drink of a Sunday Bobby. And you're bonitian. If he is our crowd, who are crowd with you? Nasa, on the if you embrace in your non universal this one, how does it look to you? Mauba, if you say, yes, yes, on the window, yeah, no, I feel no pee. A diner da ha, or not for no for window, you see, I don't know, or far if you know the room. How who can live with such a child? That's all we have before the eyes of God. He has made us, given us our minds and our intellect, has given us to have feelings and love and everything. We abuse it for ourselves and for as if we are like animals. But he has given us these things so that, as the book of Acts tells us, we will think of our Creator. Because the one who made us, who has given us all these things to enjoy, he has a purpose for us. But sin has made us to rebel. So that is it. So God has given us the gospel that will enable us to repent from a life of sin and faith in Lord Jesus Christ. The only way sin can be forgiven us. Because repentance from sin and faith in Christ, that only thing that will stand the day of judgment. It doesn't matter what you accomplish in this life. It doesn't matter whether you are rich or poor in this life. In Revelation, we're told that both young and old, great and small, stood before God, and the books were opened, and dead were judged according to the things they have done. With their life, a life of sin, not what you're able to accomplish for yourself in this world. Whether you were white or black, what did you do when God brought you to this world? When sin has really ransacked, ruined us, and God has sent us his message of life, what did you do to that? You live for yourself. Okay, you see what Christ will tell the unfaithful servants we go on. So, that's it. Even Christ cautioned people who hear the gospel lightly in Mark chapter 4, verse 24, said that, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. To hear, if you say hear, it's not like just listen. You hear and do. That is God. So because when I say why, and he asked, why is here your kind? So he said, take heed what you hear. His own words. Be careful how you hear the gospel. Because how you hear it, God also bless it according to how you hear it. Well, there's going to be a distraction. Maybe there's a fire out there. And you just got out of your house and people are trying to get it. What is happening? What is happening? You just banged your door. You went back and slept. Well, you have seen fire there. But did you ask? Will the fire come and affect me? Do I have to get out of the house? You want to bang your door and sleep? So at the end of the day, if the fire comes, what benefit will it give? It will destroy you. Those who had the information and obey the rules that were given will be safe. So that is it. So take heed how you hear the gospel about Christ. If you joke with it, God will also, quote unquote, joke with you. You have no blessing. Many, many think they have known Christ, but they don't know him because they have not experienced his blessing. They have not had their heart changed. They have some knowledge about Christ which moved them to think they are ready, but they don't. So take heed what you hear. So those who hear with hearing, God will grant further understanding. It will lead them to see more of their sinfulness. It will lead them to see how they should even repent and put their faith in Christ. Verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man reign over us. So it seems like a cutting through the story, but it's also part of the account. So this nobleman was away to receive his crown, and we are told that some of his citizens rebelled. They hated him and they rejected him, and even sent an embassy to the place he's going to receive the kingdom. Oh, we don't like this king. Whatever reason, we don't know. We don't want to be under him. Don't give him the kingdom. Don't enthrone him. And then we will not be under him. Okay, so that is what they did. They don't want to be under the nobleman's rule. We don't know what, whatever. And we are told that, I think, was it Herod the Great? One of them, it happened, it was arrested. The Jews, when he went to Rome to take his authority, some of the Jews went there to protest. But we are told that Caesar didn't listen to the Jews. When he came back, he was furious and he tried to destroy almost all of those who really stood against him. And so Christ was telling them something which they can relate to their life. And yet he was telling them a life which will lead them to think of their spiritual life. You know, that's how Christ is. So here Christ pictured here the mass of people in this world who are anti-God. The many, many people in this world that are anti-God. Yes, Christ is they are anti God. They have nothing to do with God's will for sinners. They are people like that. Those who are atheists, they know that there's what? There's life of their sin. And they don't care about what God has done about sin. And you know that some of these rebels were first found among the Jewish people themselves. Sa omu omu so omu ma sa omu meshe sa odifoy onyam niasi. Israel a picture the paduwa o wi ase omu so omu ma Yakobon die. Yakobon asem enye omu hwe. Won for omu nsha na. Yes we the picture Israel for bia na omu. Oma kan so omu pe Christo. Priest did not have, oh my bad, a swarm of courtesy Jews to say, crucified. They didn't like him. Remember when Pilate told them, this is your king, he said, away with him, away with him. Away with this man. And when he asked them, should I release you Christ freely or Barabbas who was thief? They said, no, crucify Christ and release us the thief. I said, but Christ was sent to him at Barabbas at the home time. So you see, the Jews rejected Christ. So he was speaking to them indirectly. That those who say that I will not be Lord over them, when I come back, we'll see who is who. So that's what it says. That's what he says. And not only the elders and the high priest, many Jews also hated Christ and his church. You know that when Christ went to heaven, the church was persecuted first from Jerusalem. Apostle Paul himself was one of these Jewish people. killing them, destroying the church. They caught Peter and John and told them they shouldn't preach in the name of Christ. They shouldn't speak of the name of that man. Hatred of Christ, even among the Jews. So you see, Israel for now be bono mata. You saw parable no hanok or kafor moa and percept. Now Hindi no ayaka the mediation kingdom where he's come to subdue rebellion against God, where he subdue people's hearts and bring our minds back to God. People say, no, we don't want Christ to do that for us. So these are the people. So they say, no, we don't want God's ways. We don't want God's law. We will live with our own opinions about life. We will live with our own opinions about religion. We will live with our own opinions and none of Christ. So that is it. So they despise God's law. So this will make what? Mockery of the gospel. They laugh at him. What power is there in this resurrected man? Remember at Athens, when Paul preached about Christ who rose from the dead, some of them mocked. They said, what is this? What an absurd knowledge that somebody who died and rose, we should believe in him. And we are told that some of them be mocked. Yes, and it has been going on ever since. People despise the gospel. I mean, if you come to Africa, no, traditionally those who think, they knew God before Christianity came. What is the gospel to them? Over Africa, I'm sure say almost African traditional religion. Almost so in Africa, for any man who wants that in some panel crab and yeah, you were nyami. That's what they are saying. They are making what? They are telling God, oh no, we know you better than what you are telling us. That's what they are telling God. But is it true? We will not have Christ to reign over us. Okay. So these are the haters of God. They despise God's law and his gospel. Some of these haters are even in support of God in the Christendom. What you say? Why they God, everyone who despise the deity of Christ despise Christ. Because if you take away Christ as God, we don't have any Christ. And there are people like Jehovah's Witnesses and others, they say no, Christ is lesser God. They are haters of Christ because how can he be our savior and save us from sin if he's not God? So you see, even in quote unquote Christendom, there are those who hate him. Remember the chief priests, the elders, who were the custodian of the Old Testament then, hated Christ. So it's no wonder if Jehovah's Witnesses hated Christ, hates Christ in our time. So we shouldn't be, because the Bible pictures them for us, that they hated him. Okay. So, you know how they speak blasphemously about Christ, as if he's not, he's like just an angel. It's like, oh, there's a good man who came to show us some things about God. And so they will not give their ears to the gospel. They will talk of, he gives salvation, but just superficially. They will not give their ears to the gospel. They don't desire him as the Son of God who have come to come and save us from sin. Who have come that we have to submit to him and enjoy their life to him. They don't do that. Because, and it's interesting, all those, even in quote-unquote Christian religion, that are in that, if you look at the kind of sinful life they promote, if you observe some of the things those churches do, it's amazing. They give license to a life of sin. And it is always like that. When people go away from the light, they go to darkness. It's no wonder. You see? Remember, you know that, I'm sure most of us, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, alcohol, drunkenness is nothing to them. This is one of these things. Yes, they approve drinking. No mamem. That's what they say. They quote. Bible says, no mamem to mountain time. Yes! A life of sin. You see? This is just one of those. And many, many of that. So they say, we will not have this man reign over us. So this is portrayed by Christ haters, either by words or by action, whichever way it is. If I don't want to submit my life to Christ, in the way I'm telling him, I will not give my heart to you. I may go to church, I may be among church goers, but my life is in my hands. I'm living for myself. I am part of this haters of Christ. And in that, people prefer life of sin, to be slaves to their sins than to be slaves of Christ. Isn't it not interesting? We are sinners. Sin has, our life was full of sin, lies and all sort of lustful, sinful. We are consumed with sin. And Christ has come to release us. He said, no, we love our sins. We are in prison. Yeah, we want to be our prisoners. That's what we say. We don't want the gospel of Christ. We don't want the freedom that comes to us with the help of the Christ, with the Spirit to relieve us from our sins. We want to stay in our sins. Because it's sin is enjoyable. Many are living in sin and they love it. These people, Christ himself said that in John chapter 3, he said that men will not come to him because their deeds are evil. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And that is it. If people don't want to come to Christ and give themselves to him because they love their sins, they don't want to. Because if I give my life to him, then I have to live in light of his word. I have to check each of my words, my thoughts, my actions, if it's approved of him. And people don't want that. Oh, it's too difficult. That's what they say. But it's a deception. But my question is, are you like this? Are you like these people who don't want to give themselves to Christ? Are you one of these people? And yet you want to be among cooks and go the followers of Christ? This is what Christ is telling you. You say, I will not have Christ to rule over my heart. I want to live this world for myself, and yet I want to be called a Christian. This is to you. Any rebellion against God is short-lived. Soon and soon, life will go and will pass out, and then all Christ will come, whichever way. I move on. Verse 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded his servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So the nobleman has received his crown and returned to his kingdom. But first, he took the accountability of his own servant, those who claimed to have received, who received the money from him. So that's because he had given them something. And so that he came to see how industrious they were with what the money he gave them. So as I've hinted before, the same way, when Christ comes, the gospel we heard about him, the message of reconciliation with God, we heard that he came to die for sinners, we will be judged. What do we do with that? We will be judged. Did we believe it to the saving of our souls? Or we made light of it? Are you taking the gospel like that? Or you think that your life really hangs on it? We will be judged. When Christ comes, all of us who have heard the gospel, yes, who will be the first people who realize, oh, I heard about him, but I didn't make any good use of it. Those who died before the gospel, Christ is here, they will be judged. God will judge them according to the light of natural religion they have. But then you and I, we have a greater responsibility. Because that they realize, oh, I had it. What did you do with it? You see, Christ reckoned with us. So it is very important that you strive for your soul salvation. Salvation is all works, but you must make a serious thing for yourself. In 2 Corinthians 6, where you are told that some people, Apostle Paul was telling the Corinthians that they should make evidence, true evidence of the gospel they've heard. He told them that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. The gospel is the grace of God. People receive it in vain. If you receive it in vain, that means you receive it, and you didn't believe it. You didn't make it a business to think about, to ask God to help you. So he said that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. The gospel, the grace of God to us, the sinners. Because the gospel tells us that we who deserve punishment and hell, God has graciously sent to us a rescue through his son. Yeni ayese obunsam jemene asutwe no. Yakupon ade ogia brain enam doba Yesu Kristo. Do I still continue with my life of sin as a young man or as a young woman? I think the life, I may have so many dreams and ambitions. So when I hear the gospel, maybe I'll think of the gospel later in life. Because maybe religion will obstruct my way. You have many years to live. You deceive yourself. You don't have many years to live. Who knows tomorrow? Who will live tomorrow? No one knows. And the ambitions of life, all the plans you have set up, if God will allow you to live to be old, you realize that it was worthless. Whether you were able to achieve them or not, it was worthless. Because at the end of the day, when you come to pass out of this world, The Bible tells us you are taking nothing with you. The name you made or the properties you had, you take nothing with you. Naked we came, naked we'll go back. But then, what we did on this life, in this life, with our character, with our life of sin, it will stand. It will be edged. It's like this Shakespeare, so that man's people good deeds are written on water. I'm not quoting perfectly, but bad deeds are etched on iron or something. I forgot, as long time I read it. But it means that even those philosophers think of bad deeds never wipes away. It is always there. So that what the Bible says is true, our sins will never be washed away except in Christ. We will not be cancelled. So you see, so receive not the grace of God in vain. That's what the Bible tells us. I have to quickly rush on. So I'll verse 16. Then came the first. So see that we are told that he came to reckon with them and to know how much they gained. So verse 16. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 5 pounds. And he said, Likewise, shall be thou also over 5 cities. So here, servants came, and those that have made good use of it, he rewarded them. You see, that's every worker who is, industrious and good is rewarded. So he rewarded them, Christ rewarded them. And that, for us who hear the gospel, before Christ comes, there's a reward for us. Then also, when we hear the gospel, and we give ourselves to Christ, we taste God's mercy for our sins. And then we know forgiveness of sin. And the tops of all, we receive a new life. We are born again. Christ told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we gain nothing that we have done. It's a promise for God to give us. But if we hear, we ask him, he gives us forgiveness. He gives us a new life. It's not a blessing. You see, these people worked and they were rewarded. For us, in the gospel, we don't work. In the things of us, we don't work for it. We only have to give our hearts and minds and yield ourselves to him. And the prophet, the way God himself mercifully gives us, this is forgiveness. A new life in Christ. We don't buy. Who can purchase salvation? Who can buy it? No one. It's not. We don't buy with money. It is bought with the blood of Christ. Yang first kan to Christo moja ni edito. Then what Christo moja mai dia? Yang kupon yang Yesus Christo mai dia. He purchased salvation with his blood. We only have to submit to him and receive it. Oh, you know a rich man has money, and you go to him. How do you receive a gift from him? He has to give it to you. Except you want to go and steal. You have to give it to you. Christ, how riches of grace he gives it to us. So that is. So we come to believe, and the tops of all. The Lord also gives what? Eternal life. So that those who are saved, by and by, when Christ comes, we are rewarded of heaven. Freely. We didn't work for it. Verse 20, my time is already gone. Let me just quickly run on. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laid not down, and repent that thou didst not sow. So here was a lazy servant who came to make shameful excuses. He claimed that he was careful with his master's money, so he kept it in the napkin. And the sad thing is that he said that because he feared he would lose it. He also made the excuse that the man was a bad person. Isn't it not sad? He made wrong said wrong things about him. He accused him of being harsh, greedy, and unkind. So he didn't want to get so much involved with him. Then you say, why did you take his money? So this servant also pictures many who seem to follow Christ, but are not willing to get involved with too much Christianity. We also are Christopher too much. They want to be a neutral Christian. Well, remember, sorry. I'll come to church, I'll try to obey all the commandments. If there's any Christian service, I'll serve it when I have free time, convenience, and everything. Hypocrisy. That's hypocrisy, you know. But these people don't have any inclination to cut ties with the life of sin. Because if they become serious Christians, they should cut ties with the life of sin. No, they don't want to. And their worldly ambitions, they don't want to cast. I mean, they want to have their world and live as they want to be. Their dreams are what is moving them, and yet they want to be Christians. You know that one thing that God takes away from us is our personal ambitions before we come to Christ. Everyone, before he comes to Christ, have wrong view of life. He have set wrong goals for his life. Whether a student, a worker, all my purpose in life is for myself and for fame, and that's all. For pride and show. No one, before he comes to Christ, ever think of life better than what the gospel tells. It's only the gospel that tells us, no, you cannot follow Christ with your daydreams. You can't. You must follow Christ for what he purposed for your life. So that you allow yourself and you go through life with whatever he brings to your life. You don't set your goals, as Pastor always says, and like Christ is my supporter. No. You have Christ is there, you must chase him. So that all my life, my learning, everything should be subservient to Christ. If I've not done that, I don't know Christ. If I say I'm a Christian and my aims and ambitions in life is what is driving me and not what Christ and his purpose for my life that is driving me, knowing him and living in submission to him, giving myself to him so that I can serve him more with my life, I don't know him. Because you are living for yourself, you are not living for Christ. Christ is the king, he must be served. Are you serving him? I mean, can somebody say I'm a subject of a king if I don't serve? No, you lie. That is it. So Christ, they don't want to cut ties with their life of sin. But the gospel demands cut off. Except a man deny himself, he cannot be my disciple. That's what Christ says. So some of these people also think that the gospel demands too much from them. To deny themselves worldly lust and worldly pleasures, no. My worldly music, I'll continue to listen to. My worldly, confession, I'll continue to be involved with. Yes, I want to be a Christian. You lie. You cannot be. You have to give up. My worldly, lifestyle, you have to give up. Because Christianity itself is a culture. If I come to be a Christian, I live as a Christian. So how can you be a Christian but you don't want to live as a Christian? So you see, Christianity is not just a faith. Yes, it's faith, but it's a culture. To live as a child of God. There's a standard I have to live with. If I don't want to live as such, I'm not a Christian. And with these people, because of the kind of Christianity they are trading with, they receive no spiritual blessing but the gospel they claim to receive. They have heard the gospel, they claim to believe in Christ, but there's no conversion. Their hearts are not changed. There's no peace of Christ and contentment. When life trouble comes, they are thrown overboard. There's no life of faith and prayer. They don't live by trusting the Lord in the way that he has said. No, they cannot. They may pray, they may seem to live, but they don't really live a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by what God has said. My life is moved and controlled by the principles of God's word. Am I to say or to do? Does God's word approve it? When it comes to religion, how am I supposed to worship God? How does the Bible tell us? I'm a Christian. How the Bible tells me. There are many who think that their Christianity, I don't know if they think that Christianity is a private thing. No, if you're a Christian, God joins you to a family of believers. And, the Christian who may be far away from maybe a church, but if God has put you in a family relation, the Bible said that what? And forsake not the assembly of yourself together. It's a command. It's not a choice for me as a believer to choose. No. So that if what my life style or what I'm doing goes against it, I should ask the Lord to help me so that I can be obedient and to leave what is holding me back. That is it. I don't excuse myself by going on with my life and disobeying the Lord. No. That is it. So see, and such people, there is no genuine spiritual joy. No. And there's the hope of heaven, though it is in their head, they are not sure of it. It's in their head. My time is gone. Let me quickly add up this verse and I'm done. Verse 24, 22, 26. And he said unto him, the bar servant, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that which I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then givest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine with all my with usury. And he said unto them, that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. So the little servant is going to lose even the little that was given him. That was truly given him, he's going to lose it. So it is with those who despise the gospel of God's grace and just play, make it lightly. By and by, the gospel will exert no conviction in your heart. By and by, the gospel, when you hear it, become like a Kukwanasi story to you. By and by, since I'm found a better, and oh, I'm a tia, oh, you choose a big one, my, or see me start coming morning. But then, it will have no conviction over you. You hear the gospel over you, come to church, you hear the gospel. God, in mercy, gives us time. At time, we call it judicial punishment. God Himself will darken your mind. The gospel will mean nothing to you. Even before Christ comes, you are already lost. Because the gospel should always move us to love Christ. Even believers, when we hear the gospel, it makes us to remember when Christ saves us. It makes us to think how I must give myself more to Him, to His service, and my life to submit to Him. But if I'm a sinner, I've not come to Christ, it doesn't move me. And I've heard the gospel over and over again. I'm like this unfaithful servant. All that you have heard will be taken to you from you. You have no conviction from the gospel again. And at the day of judgment, we said that Christ said, the nobleman, and he said, out of thy own mouth will I judge thou wicked servant. So at the day of judgment, your own conduct, your own response will have judged you. Is that not so? Because how you reacted to the mercy of God said that out of your own mouth you'll be judged. So you approve your own banishment to hell, not Christ. If you never heard the gospel and you played with it, you are judging yourself because you are playing with your own mercy. Verse 27, but those my enemies which will not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. So now the nobleman will take revenge on his enemies. So it is the idea of judgment. All those devoted haters and all hypocrite Christians of Christ, who never took Christ and gospel serious, shall have their share in eternal doom with the greatest enemy of Christ, Satan. In Revelation, we are told that God's hell is prepared for Satan and his angels, and all those who also do not believe in Christ, so that all will be put at the same place. My time is gone, so I cannot say much. But then, this parable is set before us, and it must concern each one of us who comes to church, especially our kind of church where we preach the gospel every day. Apostle Paul said the gospel is a savor of life unto life. It's also a savor of death unto death. Those who believe, they will come to life. Those who will not believe, they are writing their own death sentence to your parents' car. That is it. But this is eternal punishment. And that's what we have to say. Have you believed the gospel of God's redeeming grace? Have you been your concern that I don't know Christ? I don't want God, I don't want with God personally. Have you realized that your sins will take you to hell if God does not forgive you? What Jehovah said, me, my Think of it again. My time is already gone. I don't want to say much. But then, this is to warn us and to tell us to be sure of our own salvation. Are you part of those who are genuine with Christ, who have given their heart and life to Him, who have yielded their life of sin and have received from Him the new life? Are you part of those who hate Him or who want to be like Christians but then not to become too serious Christians? This is what Christ is telling us. So while we think of heaven, this is what should be our first thought. Are we part of those that will be with Christ when He comes?